Nationwide Insurance brings you the NASCAR Nationwide Series. Check us out. 1-866-500-5555 to get your insurance on track. Nationwide's on your side. Call
866-500-5555. The Melrose Line. ESPN's recap of all things NHL. Welcome in ESPN hockey analyst Barry Melrose.
Hey everybody, Joy Russo back here with the Melrose Line. We're joined by the coach, Barry Melrose, as always.
Hello, hello, hello.
And his trusty sidekick, EJ Raddick from ESPN the magazine.
I don't know if I'm a trusty sidekick, but I continue to have those photographs, so until it gets them out of my possession, I will be here on the line.
Well,
Round one. Right
off the bat, though, a lot of people on campus were coming up to me after last week's podcast where you sang the
Beer Barrel Polka.
Yes. Again, we're still searching for video, and once EJ has the photos and the video...
There will be no video. I'm very careful with that.
But yeah, you had a little tough ride getting in here today. It's Thursday here in beautiful Bristol, and it is snowing on October 15th.
Snowing heavily.
This is Saskatchewan weather. This is what I told Barry offline.
No, it's not Saskatchewan weather.
I talked to my brother the other day. They had a foot of snow in Calvington.
You're kidding.
A foot.
Okay, so I take that back.
Yeah,
this is like Moose Jaw weather?
This is like Ontario weather.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like
it's not good weather for the middle of October in the Northeast for sure. And I can tell you down at the Jersey Shore, it is raining and it's not snowing, but it was slippery the entire way up. And as Barry likes to tease me with my Prius, you know, sometimes when I get my, you know, like in the Flintstones, if people
get that Prius up to 40.
When I really get running downhill sometimes, my sneakers, my PF Flyers slip out from under me and I spin. But luckily, everything.
And it was on the George
was
Washington
okay.
Bridge?
It was just
on the bridge?
Just on the other side of the bridge where the Henry Hudson Parkway.
There's no good place for that to happen.
No.
There's no good place.
All joking aside, I was really lucky because I kind of spun out two different ways, and really the fact that there was just no one coming
at that moment at 2 o'clock in the afternoon was rare.
So knock on wood. Knock on my
EJ's
noggin.
EJ's hitting his head right now.
That's right. And happy to be here with both the great coach Barry Melrose and the terrific editor Joy Russo.
Well, I was going to say the Prius escaped unscathed as well.
Yes, thank goodness.
I'll save $3,000 worth of repairs.
At least.
But the other thing that made me think of you guys, too, before coming in here, the other night I was flipping through the old HDTV, and of course, every time this movie is on, either one of the movies are on, The Godfather or Godfather Part 2, I stop and watch it no matter where it is. I can't help myself, much to my husband's chagrin. But I ban the third one. I think it's a travesty. And
third one isn't very good.
No.
Barry, how do you feel about The Godfather 1
totally,
and 2?
Totally.
You on board?
It's sort of like Terminator.
Yeah. The third, you didn't like
third,
the,
didn't like the
first
third.
Two were
first
good.
First two were awesome. Yeah. First two are classics.
But I picked out some famous quotes.
It's called Jumping the Shark.
Yeah. But I picked out some famous lines. Obviously, most people, our listeners, probably know them very well. But I wanted to see what hockey players you thought of when I read out these quotes to you. So let's try here.
A little association here.
Yes.
Don't you do this if you're like getting tested for like an emotional problem?
No.
Psychological testing. Barry,
we're not doing
that with you. Don't worry about it. Go ahead, Joy. Read the list.
Polka. It's polka. No. Leave the gun, take the cannolis. That's my favorite.
Well, that's for every overweight hockey player in the NHL. You know who else?
It's got to be Bruce Boudreau.
Bruce Boudreau, my buddy.
Yeah.
Or Keith Kachuk circa 2001.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right after the lockout.
Okay. All right. Next one. I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
That is Milan Lucic.
EJ?
I don't know. Glenn Sather. He's made a lot of offers that people haven't refused, and most of the time, they hurt him. So I'll think of him right away there.
All right. Next one. It's not personal. It's just business.
Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one for that one. Absolutely.
Okay. A couple more here. Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Brian Burke.
That is a good one. Good one coming out of you. You could go with Lou Lamoriello for that one, too. That could be bang, bang, back-to-back Lou Lamoriello.
A player?
Anybody in the Player Association. any member of the executive committee.
Is that Andrew Ferentz, maybe? He was part of that group. Anyway, we'll get to that later.
Last one. Time to go to the mattresses.
Cats.
Business. Let's keep it business.
that's not a business question.
Yes, it is. Time to go to mattresses. Time to fight. That's what they meant in the movie, Barry.
When you say that to me, I'm not thinking fighting.
What are you thinking?
Hit the bell.
All right. And so ends another round of Word Association here on the Melrose Line. And now back to Joy Russo. Joy, take it away.
Somebody help me. Okay, so back to hockey now.
Thank God.
I'm saving you, Barry. But just, you know, we're 5, 6, 7 games into the season for, you know, teams now. But let's take a look at the stats earlier today. And obviously, Alex Ovechkin, Danny Heatley, Marian Gabrick, all up to strong starts individually.
Richards, Mike Richards.
Yep. And they're on the board. But
Ryan Smith.
Yes. Hockey hero. Ring for him. some of the names that are not, who do not have goals so far, 5, 6, 7 games into the season. Ryan Getzlaff, Pavel Datsyuk, Henrik Zetterberg, Jason Spezza, Jonathan Chichu, Shane Doan, Jonathan Toews, Simon Gagné, and Vinny Lecavalier. That was an interesting handful of players, no goals yet.
And I think Eric Staal's only got one.
Yeah.
So he's starting to slow also.
I would just say right away when I hear that list that it can't be good for the Red Wings, Barry, when Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg are on the list of not scoring. And it reminds me of last year during the playoffs when Datsyuk really, during the playoff season, he helps you in so many other ways, but really you need him to score some goals as well, and he struggled in the playoffs last year. So that's an interesting list.
It was a really crazy list because some of the Detroit's struggling, obviously, you know, especially with Franzen getting hurt.
Yeah,
last in the Central right now.
So you basically got three of their best players that aren't scoring. But again, you look at the Ducks, Getzlaff's not scoring, but the Ducks are winning.
Yeah.
And playing very well. Perry gets 2 last night, so they're continuing to play pretty good without Getzlaff scoring. Tampa has had a good start without Vinny scoring.
Yeah.
So that's interesting now that it really isn't Vinny's team anymore. You know, Stamkos is scoring, Marty St. Louis is scoring, Ryan Malone's got 5 goals, so it's not, you know, really, if you're looking at it, Tampa owners are probably saying, how come we didn't pay them? You know, we'd have $10 million that we could be dealing with and stuff. So, but again, you know, Philly's playing okay without Gagné. Gagné, what, 5 years ago, they couldn't win without Gagné scoring. Now he's not an important factor offensively for their team. So there are a lot of interesting names on that list.
But even looking at the Penguins, who don't have a loss right now, you know, they can survive without Crosby or Malkin scoring because they've been getting some secondary scoring there.
Well, they can.
Not over the long haul, but, I mean, so far they've been okay. But, I mean, what does Detroit do without those two? I mean, they're struggling without those two.
There's another team, and I mentioned this about Staal, Eric Staal. Carolina's not going to win without Eric Staal scoring.
Yeah.
You know, they're just treading water right now, hanging on. And if you watch the game last night, Eric Staal's not. Remember in the playoffs, he scored every game.
He's dynamic, yeah.
And he's not that way right now, so that's got to change. But, you know, the Detroit's, Mike Babcock will say, well, they're still playing good defensively. Don't forget, you know, it was one thing them winning the Selke Trophy when they were league leaders in points, too.
Yeah,
But these two guys got to score. Detroit, mm-hmm. Look at the players they lost. Franzen's gone. Okay, Hose is gone. That's 70 goals. Hudler's gone. I think that's 90 goals.
90 goals or so, yeah.
Kopitny's gone. And
Samuelson's gone. Yeah, they lost about 120 goals when you consider Franzen's injury as well as the departure of those guys.
And
so
now
you're absolutely
these two
right.
guys not scoring, then you're looking at 180 goals. So.
Yeah.
So even the mighty Detroit Red Wings can't afford numbers like that.
And I'll say one thing, too, about the Red Wings is that people will look and they'll say, well, Chris Osgood is not maybe making the saves when they need him, and that's part of the problem now. But I would kind of disagree. I think that Osgood has been about the same. He is kind of who he is. He gets better when the games get more important. But really, in the past, they've had all that offense, and they've been able to keep teams on their heels a lot, and it's been hard to match up against the Red Wings. This year, I mean, and you would say, Barry, as a former coach, it's a lot easier to match up against the Red Wings now when you don't have to worry about Hossa, you don't have to worry about Franz, and you don't have to worry about some of these other guys who are really helpful players on the power play like Samuelson and Hudler.
Well, and it even got worse than that because you were scared of your top line playing against Zetterberg and Datsyuk because those two guys would outscore your top line.
Yeah.
So now, you know, you're not as afraid of your top line playing against those two guys with them not scoring. So it's a double-edged sword. And another thing, like Howard was supposed to be the Detroit goaltender by now. you know, Osgood isn't supposed to be the number one goaltender right now. Howard is supposed to have eclipsed him and become the goaltender, and he just hasn't played up to that role yet, so yeah. He's still basically the backup.
And he hasn't really gained anyone's confidence so far in Detroit. He had a tough start. He played against the Blues in Sweden and hasn't really had a start since then. I would say one thing going forward, bigger picture for the Red Wings, is that they've been lucky the last couple of years. They've been able to get by paying their duo of goalies about $2.5 or $3 million because they got Chris Osgood kind of on the cheap. Other teams around the league, to have top goaltenders, they're paying $5-6 million. So last year, Chicago was paying, what, $13 million for two goalies. Down the road for the Red Wings, as they continue to try to be a strong team and work within a salary cap, that's going to be an issue for them because they have not allocated in the past a lot of money for their goalies. And if they ever do make a jump into free agency, that's where they're going to have to try to find money to make it happen.
What about, talk about Chicago? Huey making the big money for Chicago.
Terrible. He's been terrible. Antti Niemi
has won three in a row for Chicago. So we got a goaltending controversy. Washington, the same thing. We're talking about, is Washington's goaltending good enough? Right now, you'd have to say no. Theodore is basically number one goaltender again, based because Varlamov has not played well.
That's right. And then the kid, Michael Neuwirth, who was in the minors there, who helped Washington's minor league team in Hershey win the Calder Cup, he got hurt in training camp. Bruce Boudreau really likes him, but it's just a matter of, you know, seeing where things shake out right now. He's going with Theodore kind of by default, I think. I agree with you, Barry. So I think that's one of those stories that will play out during the year, and I think Neuwirth will be a guy that will get an opportunity at some point, and maybe he's the guy that will come in and be the goalie eventually for the Capitals.
Well, it's interesting, though, this weekend the Red Wings faced the Avalanche. Obviously, late 90s, a huge rivalry in the NHL, and now the Avalanche are leading the Northwest 4-1-1, and I would say most, you know, analysts going
biggest
into this
surprise,
season
biggest
were,
surprise. Yeah.
were thinking that this was going to be the rebuilding period, and now you've got the Red Wings struggling, and now the Avalanche are doing well, at least, you know, a couple weeks in. I mean, that was such a heated rivalry. I guess right now, what are your both of your top heated rivalries in the East and West right now?
Oh, rivalries in the East... you'd have to say Washington-Pittsburgh, Ovechkin-Crosby.
Yeah. You know, it's not I like Pittsburgh and Philly.
Yeah, too. Pittsburgh-Philly, those three teams, you know, a little bit of hatred. You know, until you, again, playoffs create rivalries. Regular season doesn't create rivalries, and that's why that rivalry is so good. In the West, Edmonton-Calgary is still the best rivalry. They hate each other. You know, if those two teams could ever meet in the playoffs again.
Yeah, that's been a long time since they've had a playoff series against one another.
Well, even when any of those Pacific teams, you know, Pacific Northwest teams play each other, Vancouver, any of those two matchups, that they're always physical.
Yeah.
You know, there was that one infamous, I think, Vancouver Oilers game last year where the last 5 minutes of the game, it was like toward the end of the regular season, and the last five minutes, all these brawls where even Sam Gagne got
I
remember that.
They've all got these little agitators now. You got Burroughs and Kessler, and you've got, Edmonton's got Stortini, and Calgary's got, little disturbers, too, and they stir the drink for the big boys. So, and again, you just get three Canadian teams battling back and forth. It's always great games.
Yeah, I think, I think Detroit and Chicago is a good rivalry. I think St. Louis and Detroit, St. Louis and Chicago. I think as Detroit has kind of descended a little bit.
It could turn into Chicago-St. Louis this year.
Yeah, that could be a great one.
Become a great rivalry again.
Yeah, so, I mean, one other one in the East, too. It's an old one, but, Montreal and Boston, neither team has started off great this year, but the last 2 years, like you mentioned, Barry, they played in the playoffs. One eliminated the other in different years. The Lucic and Komisarek battle. Now, Komisarek has gone on from Montreal to Toronto, but I'm sure that Lucic is still, enemy number one in Montreal. So that's one of those ones, too, that's had a lot of longevity to it, and they don't like each other.
You know, not now, but Toronto-Ottawa is a great rivalry.
Yeah.
When they were both okay 4 or 5 years ago, that was a great rivalry.
Great rivalry. Toronto's just so bad right now. I saw them earlier in the week, and boy, that's a mess.
That's going to be a rivalry when there's no opposition on one side.
We were talking about the Red Wings and just their struggles, but, you know, one other notable team trying to find its way early in the season are the Boston Bruins. Tim Thomas struggling a little bit. They're 2-3-0 so far. They're averaging almost 18 minutes of penalty minutes per game, which, you know, is among, I think, the top 10 in the league. I mean,
But they're not. You know what, Joey? They're not aggressive penalties. They're hooking and holding and slashing. They're not, like Boston played with a ton of intensity last year. They were hard to play against. Like they were mean and nasty, but they didn't take bad penalties. And if you look at them now, we talked about it. They gave Kessel away for nothing. Okay. So you give 36 goals away and you got nothing back. The draft picks are great and the next coach will enjoy them for Boston because that'll be who will use them. Claude Julien's not going to use those draft picks. So they don't score as much. So all of a sudden, those passes by Savard are going on to somebody's stick who's not a pure goal scorer. So it takes three passes to score a goal instead of one. The defense isn't looking as good. The goaltending, Timmy Thomas last year, the great year, Timmy Thomas won a lot of games last year for Boston Bruins. And that's not happening right now. So Boston had a great year last year, but everything went right for them. Everything went right. Because they worked hard. They deserved it. But this year, things aren't quite going the same, and all of a sudden they're a team under 500 and a team that should be way under 500 if they wouldn't, 7 minutes against the Islanders. The Islanders should have won that game. They were 3-0 with 7 minutes left. They should have won that game, too.
Hey, I just was just say that, Barry, you would know from your coaching experience is that chemistry with players is so hard to kind of quantify how what it means, and a couple of little things.
Yeah,
I mean, Kessel,
Aaron Ward,
I felt was a guy in that room had a lot of he talked a lot. He talked a lot, but I think people though listen to Aaron Ward in that room, especially that first year when they got better. He's won a couple cups, and like Stefan Yell was a guy too. I thought you could always use him, killing penalties late in games, close games. Like as a former coach, you probably appreciate a guy like that you could trust in those situations. So yeah, they definitely miss Kessel scoring. There's no question, but I think there's some other little pieces too that play into their night to night intensity and their ability in certain situations to be successful. It's a little bit of a different group right now, and I think they're going to have to find their way. And I think, Tim Thomas is one of those guys. It's a great story. It's kind of a hard luck story of a guy who, kept climbing up that hill and ends up winning the Vezina Trophy. But, now the tough part.
He's the number one goalie.
Do it again. I mean, sometimes maybe it's not easy to do it once, but sometimes you can do it 1 year or 2 years. It's hard. That's why the Lidstroms and the Eisermans in the past and the Messiers and the Gretzkys and all these great players we've seen in the past, they've been able to do it year after year after year after year. So that'll be the question for Tim Thomas. Is he had a lot of he had a good summer, won some awards. It was looking forward to a new season, maybe being in the Olympics. But I think he's got to try to find his way as well.
But it wasn't a good postseason for them. Obviously, they had higher aspirations from being ousted in the second round by Carolina. I mean, do you think, whereas Chris Osgood talked last season about having kind of a hangover from winning the Cup, do you think? Mentally, I mean, our colleague Pierre LeBrun kind of suggested that online today. Is it possible that there is something mentally in their heads about getting over that upset from last season? Or some people use it as motivation, but do you think they're having a hard time getting it going because of that disappointing end?
Well, there's high expectations for them. I mean, their owners already came out. Jeremy Jacobs has already come out and talked about how they expect to do much better even this year and go on and, get into the Stanley Cup Finals is really the goal. One other thing, Barry, too, and we touched on his name earlier in this in the podcast, is Andrew Ferentz. I mean, this was a guy that was a helpful defenseman for the team, but through a lot of the stuff that's gone on with the PA, he has kind of put himself in a position of being almost like person non grata a little bit around his own team and certainly among with some of the players around the league. And that is now something that's swirling within that dressing room that you do not need as you go forward in a league where everybody is really tight and really close. Every night you're playing this league, somebody has got a chance to beat you. You don't need to be worried about individual battles that are going on between players over things that don't have to do with what's going on the ice.
I think they're a different team. I think you lose Ward. You get 40 goals away with Kessel. You don't replace that. And everything went perfect for them last year. Success changes people, sometimes for the worse. And all of a sudden, a guy that was pushed last year for a job, maybe he's not pushed this year. A guy gets a new long-term contract, that changes you. So I just, right from day one, I said, I don't think this team is as good this year as it was last year at this time, and I still don't think it is.
Well, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to mention one thing, and I don't know if either of you have come across any of the family in your dealings, obviously, with working for us and writing, but one thing that's happening over the weekend on Sunday is the family of Dan Snyder, who was killed in an auto accident with Danny Heatley in 2003.
Was that 2003? That's unbelievable.
And before he had passed away, he was working on trying to raise enough money to build a new hockey facility in his hometown of Elmira, Ontario. And Scott Burnside, our colleague from ESPN.com as well, brought up that this on Sunday they are finally unveiling that new hockey yep. facility in Elmira. And I just thought, what a great story. I mean, they tried to turn a tragedy into a positive, and now his dream lived on, and it's being fulfilled by the family.
I think going back right to 2003 and the first time we met the Schneider family and their support of Dan Heatley after the terrible accident, and I think we really found out what a great family that was, and obviously what a great person Schneider was. That could have been such a terrible incident for everybody involved, and it was a terrible incident. But there's no good way of saying what I'm saying. But the Schneider family just came out looking so good and such a great family, and how they handled everything.
Yeah, really unique people, and I would agree with Barry in that. You know, from that end of it, they have been. They were the way they really kind of came to the aid and the support of Danny Heatley. That's certainly an unusual circumstance, and a tragic circumstance to be in. But here we are several years later, and to have that, they've been able to raise the money and to have this facility open. I think it's one of those things that is terrific, and it's able to, we continue to have Dan's legacy go forward. I mean, he was a guy that was a hardworking player, kind of guy that Barry Melrose here always enjoys watching, really an overachiever in his career to get to the National Hockey League. And here, his name can be on this facility where other kids in that area could grow up and have an opportunity to push forward in their own dreams and aspirations. So it's terrific that they got that done. And that's kind of a neat thing over the weekend. Hopefully the people in that region really will get a chance to get out there and support it.
Well, one of the people who will be out there is Pierre LeBrun. He's going to file a report. So our
check
audience
that out.
Can check that out for sure. Also, don't forget, EJ is in ESPN The Magazine. He's an NHL insider.
Not a picture, I hope.
No.
Picture?
Well, I was actually, they wanted me for that body issue, Joy, where we did a lot of the nude athletes and things
body
like that.
Body double, please.
Yeah, I've been training throughout the summer, but we just couldn't work out the appropriate figures to make that work. So,
Literally.
but Dineno Char, check it out. I mean, there's a couple of hockey players in the issue. It's really kind of
a couple of Edmonton Oilers.
I think the people involved with the magazine did a terrific, terrific job with
A masculine point of view to this. There are some women in the magazine also.
Oh yeah, Serena Williams is on one of the covers. She looks terrific.
Athletes.
So saw some of the women softball players and some of the different athletes in the different sports. So I think they did a terrific job.
Yeah. There is a photo of EJ, just his headshot, on ESPN.com.
Thank goodness.
And don't forget Barry Miller.
I'm fighting to have that taken out of there, too.
Barry is appearing nightly on SportsCenter.
Don't eat the veal.
ESPN News. Also, just so you folks know, we've got a new Thursday night hockey package on ESPN.com. We're making Thursday night a special hockey night on ESPN.com. You can ask our experts questions. You can see our Game of the Week previews and all that fun stuff. So I hope everybody checks it out and enjoys it. In the meantime, we'll leave the last word to the coach. Is there another polka song that you'd like to leave us with?
You know what? I always my mother always tried to get my brother and me to dance with her at dances.
And you wouldn't?
No. She always left before I drank enough beer.
Oh, okay.
To dance.
You wouldn't dance with your own mother?
Oh, I'd dance with my mother, but I couldn't dance. My mother was a great dancer. My mother loved to dance and was a great polka. I wasn't good enough to dance with her.
Shy at the time.
I always remember when I talk about polkas that she, her lifelong dream was my son and my brother and me to dance for a dancer, so.
Well, I don't think we can top that, can we?
That's kind of a heartbreaking story, actually.
I might start to cry now.
I know. I mean, I feel bad.
Well, we'll talk to you folks next week.
I think my mother felt.
Oh.